Goedemorgen allemaal. Morning, morning everybody. You know me by now, I'm never long. I never, my word is never long. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. So today, just please hear my heart this morning. Just hear my heart. Because you know, what I'm going to say, it might sound very simple. But I can promise you, it is from a heart desperate for God. A heart desperate for God. And I just want you to open your hearts this morning. Open your hearts and really receive what God wants to impart in our lives. And then the other thing is, it's not new. All of you know these things. It's not new. You know, it's just good to sometimes repeat things. As I say, repetition is the mother of all learning. That is what I was told. Never worked for me at school, but I'm sure for other people it will help. So I'm going to repeat some stuff. You know, it's always good to hear things again. Don't be like that, like some of those people that say, you know, my granddad do it this way, and my dad did it this way, and I'm going to do it this way. Let's just be flexible and allow the word to really work in our lives. We all know that people, they're just they just don't take advice from anyone. And they just don't want to learn anything new. But yeah, the title of my word this morning is Desperate for God. Desperate for God. And when we stand here and when we come together as a family, you know, it's never to impress one another with our knowledge. It is not the aim, you know. It's to unwrap one another. It's to come and let God come to the fore in our lives. But while I was preparing this word, I was thinking of this old game show that was on TV when I was a child. It was called The Money or the Box. Does anybody remember that? The Money or the Box. So they ask you questions, and then if you answer correctly, then they will say, okay, are you going to take the money? Or do you want? You never know what's in the box. It's like, that is a surprise. So what's in the box can be of less value of the money, or it can be something just amazing, you know. So I was thinking of this, and I think, you know, isn't it like that with us as well? We just want to kind of, some people just, they're just happy with where they are in God. They don't want to step out and say, but there's so much more. It's almost like, is it worth going out there, or is it just fine sitting here? You know, I'm tired. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I'm tired of just going through emotions. I'm just so tired of just existing and not living in God. Because I know that there's so much more in God. There's so much more in God, and I'm so desperate to just see that realized in all of our lives. The one thing that I can tell you is God is ripping off what is this veil of understanding about Him. You know, this understanding that we have of Him, God is busy ripping off that veil, and He's just opening up our eyes to who He really is. And I want to read something this morning. And it's in Matthew 14 from verse 25. And this is Jesus walking on the water. And as I say, we all know this, but just hear my heart this morning. Matthew 14 from verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Command me to come to you on the water. Peter was the only one of the 12 that had a cry to Jesus to say, "It's safe here in this boat. And eventually, you will most probably get in the boat with us. But Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I want to come to you. I want to do the thing that no one that I know has ever done before. And that is walk on water and come to you." You know, people normally talk about, yeah, and then Peter was looking at the waves and then he sank and then Jesus had to... The chance that we take when we reach out to God, the chance that we take in exposing ourselves is making mistakes. And is being tested. And believe me, you are going to be tested. Believe me, you are going to be tested. And you're going to ask a question hundreds of times over. Did I make the right choice? And I tell you, it's worth it. Because even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear no evil. For God is with us. There was a desperation in the heart of Peter. A desperation to say, "Lord, if what I'm witnessing right now is you, command me to come to you." You know, that is the cry that I have in my heart. And that is what I speak over this house this morning. The cry that we have to have in our heart is, "Lord, this is you. Speak the word. Let me come to you." Because God wants to be our all in all. And you know the thing about God? God is not satisfied with anything less than His image and His likeness. God is not satisfied with anything less than God. God, I'm going to say this again, God is not satisfied with anything less than God. He created us in His image and likeness to be an exact representation of who He is in this earth. When we manifest God, we manifest His fullness. And that's why it's so important that we should have that desperation to come into His fullness. You know, there's times when we can get by just reciting what we know. There's times where we get so clever sometimes. We know everything. We know everything. We're so clever sometimes. I don't know. But God wants to live through us. Not just in us, through us. The letter, the Bible says, kills. But the Spirit brings life. So God already before the foundations of the world restored us to that position in Christ. So God don't want to achieve anything in us. He wants us to encounter what He already achieved. Did you get that? God don't want to achieve anything in us. He wants us to encounter what He already achieved. And there's an alignment required from our side. And that alignment expresses itself as a hunger or a desperation to experience God in His fullness. That's why David said in the Psalms, like, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. You know, I watched this National Geographic, and then they saw these animals migrating for water, and of course, varsweiding. And they go for kilometers on an end, and then they have to cross a river filled with crocodiles, but they go because there's something in them that is driving them. And so, for us, what is it that's blocking us from coming into the fullness of God? How desperate are we to experience His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven? We pray it a lot, but how desperate are we to see that? How desperate are we to see God revealed in our lives, not only in a personal level, but corporately as well? Or are we so comfortable in the rut, you know, in this rut of just doing things the way we are doing it? You know, I'm talking harder to myself right now, because when I know that I need to make more time for God, I know that. Our journey in Christ is to rediscover who we are in Christ. And do we make time to fellowship with Him? Now, Pastor Kobus, in his absence, loved reading the scripture, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to unpack it a bit on my understanding. We find it in Ecclesiastes 3, 14 to 15. You know this. As I said, you know this. It reads, I know, from verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. I want you to listen to this almost like this is the first time that you're hearing it. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it that man should fear before Him. Then verse 15 it says, that which is has already been, and that what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Okay, now we've got that. Now let me just unpack it so a little bit. So if I understand this right, then God requires an account of the past, the present, and the future. It's not about what we have done or what we are going to do, but it's about everything in between. Now I'm gonna just read this last bit a bit, and I'm gonna put my own commentary there. What is that is present has already been that is past. And what is to be that is future has already been that is also the past. And God requires an account of what is past. So in one line, we've got the future, the present, and the past. And everything goes back to the beginning. Am I right? The future is the past, the present is the past, and God requires that of the past. What happened in the past? What is it that happened then? the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And God established us in Christ, in Him. What God did then, He completed first. That is how God operates. He first completes things, then He starts it. When God creates a seed, what He sees is a forest. But He's sitting with a seed. That is how God operates. So, when He created us, what did He see? He saw a corporate son living desperately for Him. That's why the Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's why God doesn't change. He's always the same. But us, we change because anything that encounter God changes. When a person encounters God, he must change. With all his knowledge, with all his wisdom, he will change. Paul will say that, you know, I had it all. I was the best in what I did. I had it all. But when I encountered God, I counted all of that rubbish. You know, this morning we sang songs that just broke my heart once again. I love you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we sing the song, "You are the air that I breathe." And all I want is, Father, let it not just be words, but let it be a cry in our hearts after You. It's important that we make time for God. In our busy schedules, let's make time for God. In Matthew 13, from verse 44 to 46, Matthew 13, 44 to 46, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Are we desperate enough to let go of everything that we think is valuable? Everything that we think is important? Everything that we hold dear to follow Him? Are we desperate enough to let everything go? To seek Him first? To sell everything for Him? Because we are so busy with so many things. I've never had anybody answer me in a different way when I ask them questions like, "How was your week?" It's either, "It was good," "I was very busy," "It was bad." But no one ever answers me, "I spent time with God this whole week. I was in His presence this whole week." This is what we need to be. This is where we need to be. In His presence. In His presence. Even if you go to work. Even if you go to whatever places you need to be at. Spend it in God's presence. Now, you'll be happy to know that I'm almost done. There's a gentleman, Benning Lipcher. He's a director of Jesus Culture, the worship group. And he said, in America, there's a generation that is experiencing more options than any generation in all of history. We have more options today than any other generation in history. There's never been so many ways to spend our time and our money and our attention. You know, we can get busy with not being busy. We can just, men are amazing at it. They can just sit and do nothing for hours. That's actually the one thing that woman hates the most, is when a man just sits there and, what are you doing? Nothing. But we've got so many options. We are so busy. We're just spending time with just things that don't even add value to our walk with God. My question is, could it be that our choices reveal our heart? And could it be that our choices reveal our desperation after God? Jesus said in Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to focus on six people, and it's going to go very quick, six people in the Bible who were hungry for God. They desired Him and wouldn't let go. They followed their appetite and it led them to God. The first one is Moses. In Exodus 33:14, verse 16, you don't have to go there. Moses told God he didn't want to go anywhere without God's presence. And the reason was, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Rather than anything else, Moses wanted the mark of God's presence on him and the people of God. Instead of fitting in, Moses wanted to stand out. The difference for Moses was God. And my question is God the differentiating mark in our lives? Second person, David. In Psalm 27 verse 4 it says, David wrote of the one thing that he treasured more than anything else. He said, one thing I ask from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Now David was good at many things. He was a shepherd, a warrior, a poet, and a king. But above all, there was just one thing he wanted more than anything else. And that one thing was to seek God. David wanted the Lord. If we are honest in our own hearts, what is the one thing that we are searching for? And who are we desperate for? Number three, the sons of Korah, also in Psalms 84:1-2. The sons of Korah express their absolute desperation for God. They say, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. The sons of Korah were completely desperate for God. They longed after Him. Their only yearning was God. What do we yearn for? Is God our yearning? Number four is Anna. In Luke 2, verse 37, it says, the widow Anna filled her days and nights in God's presence. It says, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. For Anna, there was nothing better to do than fellowship with God. Her life was a continuous conversation with God. She lived face to face with God. Do we make enough time, moment by moment, to fellowship with God? Number five, Mary of Bethany. We know the story. When Jesus came to Bethany, he visited the home of Mary and Martha. And although there was a lot of work to do, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Now Martha got upset, but Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better. You know, intimacy with God will eventually produce service. We don't have to follow service. Service don't necessarily produce intimacy with God. We should pursue intimacy with God first. And so what are we pursuing first? Intimacy or service? And then the last person that I want to refer to is Paul. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2 says, Paul wrote about this one single thing, his one single focus. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For Paul, it was all about Christ. Nothing else mattered to him. He gave up his freedom many times and ultimately his life. But his encounter with God made him the most desperate man after the truth of God. How desperate are we for God? Are we desperate enough to say, as Paul say in Philippians 3, 10 to 14, I'm going to read it, but I want you to listen to the words of Paul when he writes a letter to the Philippians. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is the heart of Paul. And in our desperate search for God, we will encounter loss. But we gain so much more. We gain everything because God is our all in all. And He will be all in all through the church. There's a scripture that says, He will reveal His manifold wisdom to powers and principalities through the church. Are we desperate for God? Are we desperate for God? Let's stand up. Let's raise our hands. Let's raise our hands.